Dear Chicago. Drove to Chicago.
Ain't in camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And
Fullerton is next. Doors open on the left at Fullerton.
How about Chicago? I could be there.
Welcome to Foul Monkeys. This is Ricky.
What up? And today I'm just
Who are you going to be?
Oh my God, it's so hot. It's Paris Hilton.
No.
No, it's Kim Kardashian.
No, that's worse.
Selfie. No, it's Roger.
Hey, Roger.
What's going on?
So, it's been a month of Sundays.
It has. We recorded. Literally. Oh, my God. Literally. I'm so excited to be back on the podcasting radio.
The podcasting radio.
And to be in our studio.
Do you have an iPod for that?
No.
No. So, we've been gone for about a little over a month, I think.
I think the last time we recorded was when I moved, like, which was in on July 5th or 5th was 5th, the last.
5th.
5th.
So, yeah, we haven't recorded in a while, like a couple, or I had a big major, two major life events happen, which aren't really happy ones. And then, you know, Roger can't record without me, so.
No. No.
Well, you. I could do like an on the road with somebody, and then I could put it up. But I still need to teach you how to do all that.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same.
I really want to live in a place where we can actually have a room that is a studio.
Yeah, it's called Next Door. Hurry up!
That would be awesome.
Hurry up.
So you guys, our next door, the condo next door to us, actually was just renovated. And now it's for rent. And Tony's trying to convince me to contact the company to say we want to move over there. And, like, the apartment's, like, fucking cool. I think you should do it. I'll email him and I'll see.
I think you should.
So, we'll discuss this after. because I got this a long time ago. I just forgot to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it might... Well, we'll talk about it. Because it... People may think that this is insensitive, but it's not. It was not. We didn't get this like right as things happen. So, all right, you guys, I'm going to talk about this situation. I am going to try to get through it without crying.
Yes.
I've had a lot of ugly cry sessions for the past month. Roger was with me last weekend. Mm-hmm. So it may be a little easier for me to talk about since I've already talked to him about it and I've already had my ugly cry with him.
Well, and I'm going to make fun of you if you start crying.
No. All right. So I'm really nervous. Because what do friends do? I'm really nervous. They make you want to kill yourself.
I'll push you.
Into the knife.
No, off the ledge.
10 times. All right. So... You guys,
now you do realize before you start that this is like a really sensitive subject. So, and I'm a sensitive Sally, so you may make me cry.
Right. So on July 11th, I don't know if some of you may know, but my mother passed away and it was very unexpected for us, mm-hmm. my sister and I, or actually our family. And so that's one of the reasons we haven't recorded because I've had a lot to deal with, just not with her death, but with her property and having to deal with people contacting us still. my mom, they really don't fully know what happened. But apparently her boyfriend, she had a boyfriend, was there with her. And then there was a moment she like couldn't catch her breath. She wasn't breathing correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was starting to scare her. So they called 911 and, you know, reported that, you know, she couldn't breathe. And as the ambulance was on their way to her, she actually blacked out and, because she wasn't, her body wasn't getting the oxygen she needed, she went into cardiac arrest, and the ambulance got there. She was actually, I guess, supposedly she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to revive her, but she went without oxygen for about 15 minutes, which isn't good because any, you know, your body needs oxygen, you know, after 6 to 8 minutes. You know, it's kind of bad if you, if it doesn't have it. And then they flew her to a hospital in Roanoke, Virginia, and she, and at this time I didn't know what was going on. That it happened on Monday, and like late Monday night. So I didn't really get, I got the news late Monday night as I was going to bed, but I didn't know the severity of everything because, you know, I wasn't there, so I couldn't really get any answers. And my sister and my cousin were there, but they weren't supplying them with any answers because they were, you know, doing what they needed to do to see what's going on.
And I'm sure to some degree it's very hard when you're trying to deal with your emotions because you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get some answers to figure out, like, what are the next steps? Try to decipher what's going on. And so you can dispel the information to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure to them they were like, and to try to figure out what questions to ask, even mm-hmm. that. I mean, I'm sure that that was really difficult on them.
So I went to work on Tuesday. Probably shouldn't have because right. I was a hot mess, you know, yeah. because I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know the severity. No, I did not sleep.
Sure.
I didn't know the severity of the situation until Tuesday afternoon, like late Tuesday. And that's when my sister called and told me that my mom was actually on life support and that we, that I needed to come home. So, you know, I had to figure out how to get home. You know, to fly where I'm from in Virginia, it's very expensive, especially if it's a last minute ticket. So I decided it would be best probably for me not to have to deal with flights anyway and to pay a lot of money for this. So I decided to drive down, which is like an 11 to 12 hour drive, but it gave me time to think about what I needed to do, gave me time to kind of, you know, decide, because I was basically, me and my sister were going to have to take her off life support and we didn't know what would happen afterwards. So I get to the hospital. It was late. Like, I had arrived late, so they weren't able to, the doctors weren't able to talk to us, so I had to wait another day. And so,
were you able to see her?
Yes, I mean, I got to see her, I got to talk with her. I have to say, it was very, well, first, I was very upset, you know, because this, how she looked and everything that was connected to her and everything. But at the same time, I was like, like, I was really scared to touch her, and I talked to her, but I was scared, you know, because I didn't, I've never had to be around a person like this before, and so to see her, you know, connected to all these machines and not awake. There was a few times she would open her eyes and it seemed like that she was responding. But the doctor said it was just her natural body trying to, you know, adjust and stay alive, you know, to the machines. So it was really hard to make that decision. I know it was the best decision, but, you know, you see your mom there and you think she can hear you and you don't know if she's screaming on the inside to either, you know, please don't do this or please do this. And so I guess I should say I was very lucky. A lot of people do not get this opportunity to be with their parent when they pass away. So they took the machines off. They gave her a little sedative so that she wouldn't feel any pain, because that's another thing. I didn't want her to feel any pain after they took the machines away. So, sorry. So I was there and I held her hand for 8 minutes. She breathed on her own and then she passed away. And it was very, it was really weird. It was very agonizing for me to have to sit there and watch her die. But I know in the end it was the right choice. And she died peacefully. And I'm just lucky to be able to be a part of that. as I was explaining to Roger, that you know, my dad died like 15 years ago, and I didn't get a chance to really say bye to him. But then my mom passes away, and I was like, always wanted to be that kid that like showed my parents the respect that I had for them for raising me and doing the best that they could, and always wanted to be that kid that would help them in their later age. And now I don't have that opportunity. And it sucks because both sides of my family weren't really that close. So I don't have like aunts and uncles, you know, to really rely on. I don't know them that well. So it's just me and my sister now and my nephews. And it's kind of hard to, like, I still think, like, I could pick up the phone and still talk to her. And she, I mean, I know that it's just kind of instinct to be able to do that. And right. Now that she's not there, like, I mean, I'll actually pick up the phone and want to text her. But, so that's what I've had to, that's what I've been dealing with. And, I want to say thanks to everyone that showed your condolences. I'm very lucky to be, I don't want to say in this position, but I'm very lucky to do what I do with the podcasting world, because I had a lot of support. Even though you weren't physically there, it did help to know that people were thinking of me. And thank you for all the people that called and texted me and private messaged me and sent cards. It meant a lot to me. And even my sister, who, you know, she doesn't really get into the podcasting thing, but she was really surprised about how many people are out there were there to support us. So that's, yeah. So, sorry to make you cry, Roger. That's I noticed okay. that I ugly cried and you did not make fun of me. So now it's just a part of moving forward, and there's a lot of things like financial stuff that has to be taken care of, which is very stressful when you don't live in the area. Mm-hmm. So I'm having to deal with that. I'm going back down to Virginia at the end of this month to still go through a few things. And my brother also, it's his wedding. So go down there, celebrate something happy.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been dealing with, you guys. And I know that it's been a while since I recorded, but I also know that you understand. So
how's everyone dealing with, I mean, in terms of like your close family, like your sister and your brothers, how are they all?
Well, my brother and younger sister are half siblings, so they're my dad.
On your dad's side?
They were my dad's children with my stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
My sister closest to me, the oldest sister, is from both my parents. So, and she's really having a rough time right now because I don't know if I ever talked about it on the show. I probably didn't, but they were kind of like in a family feud kind of thing.
Right.
And they weren't talking. And, you know, of course, my sister was really upset when all this happened because she hadn't spoken with her in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sister has to deal with that part.
Just to reconcile with that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to help her and explain to her that, you know, she was only half the issue. My mom was the other half. They were both like really hard-headed people. They were both so much alike that they couldn't really see it. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
And it was had to deal with some past family issues that happened. I haven't really talked about that. I don't think there's really a need to.
No, there isn't. But I mean, you know, the one thing that your sister needs to, I talked to this in private, just, you know, she needs to reconcile with that and just mm-hmm. remember that it's something that you don't think of when you're arguing with something, mm-hmm. with someone. You don't think about these things. It's not something that you put in your head when you're arguing with someone that that's going to be the last time you're ever going to have interaction with that person. And I mean, of course, it's easier said than done when you're on the outside or when it's something that didn't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that she needs to remember that it was just a very small piece of something that is so much larger, you know, that your mom represented, mm-hmm. and that she needs to try to get past that so that that way she remembers happier times with your mom.
Right.
You know?
And and she is trying, and I feel bad that I had to leave because she's pretty much dealt with all the physical part of my mom's stuff, like packing up her house, I'm doing the phone calls and the bills and all that stuff, and she's doing the actual physical work. And this is another thing that, well, I didn't really talk about, you know, on Facebook or anything. Well, I did speak a little bit about it, but my stepdad died about 3 years ago, and apparently in the last 3 years of my mom's life, she became like a hermit and kind of a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
So after everything was done with my mom, we get to her house and we start going through stuff, and we realize that, oh my God, it's too much. Like, I mean, she would just have things, like, she didn't look like a hoarder, but then when you opened up a cabinet, like, shit would just fall out.
Right.
So, like, there were a few days that me and my sister, we would just cry because we didn't know where to start, where to begin, what to do with anything. So,
but you know, that's a deal with, you know, it's a, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's a prod, you know, that's very telling of where your mom was at emotionally. Mm-hmm. Probably with your stepdad's death. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that is very telling in terms of, it was probably very hard on your mom, and mm-hmm. she probably hadn't gotten over it, and her form of trying to get over it was to do that, mm-hmm. you know, because that's sort of the thing that people do, is they hold on to things, mm-hmm. and they tend to add things because that feels like.
Well, she started to
for some reason,
like she started seeing this guy, Nick, for about the past 4 or 5 months. And I had noticed a big difference in her, mm-hmm. like when I would
speak in a good
with
way?
Her. Yes.
Yeah.
When I would speak with her, she was a lot happier. She had plans, you know, she actually went out and did things, and she was taking pictures, and I could tell a big difference. So this guy really made her happy. It was really sad to see him have to go through this, and he was there through the whole thing with us.
Yeah.
So he really liked her, loved her probably.
Yeah. Well,
he did love her.
That's sad. I mean, especially if it's such a short time,
yeah.
It must be very sad to have to go through that when you,
right.
It's something so new to a person, you know? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just unfortunate that at the time where she was starting to come around to like being a normal person again, that this happened. So.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying, and I know this, it's not to make light of a situation, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. And whether you believe in a higher being or not, you know, there are reasons that these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, I kind of say the same thing about like with my dad's death at the time, and probably, you know, 8 years after his death, it was still hard for me to like actually comprehend what happened, why it happened. Mm-hmm. I learned that I had to forgive him. And then I realized, like, and I was on like on a bunch of medications at one time in my life, and it was just a hot mess. Like, I couldn't function. But after I took myself off those medications and kind of went through a little bit of therapy, I realized that if it wasn't for like my father's death, I wouldn't be in Chicago. I wouldn't have moved to Florida.
Right.
I wouldn't have this podcast. I wouldn't have met all these great people that are involved in my life. So even though it was a very sad moment in my life, it has made a lot more happy ones.
Right. It snapped something, sparked something in your life, mm-hmm, that led you to good things.
So hopefully, I may talk about it a little bit more at another show, but hopefully that's the main part of it, and I will be able to talk about it without crying. Probably not for a while, but, you know. I do want to say, without crying, still, thank you to everyone that sent their condolences. I really appreciated it.
I mean, sadly. Let's move on.
Right.
No, and I just want to say, you know what? It's been, you know, that I can't, you know, and I told you this in the car. I don't have a father, so I don't know what it's like to lose a parent. Mm-hmm. I have seen other friends, you know, go through losing the parents, and I can't imagine. I'm very close to my mom, so I can't imagine what it's like to lose a parent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have lost people. So, I mean, my heart goes out to you, Ricky.
Especially, she died young. She was only 55. So it was like, you know, it's kind of jarring to us. But
yeah,
I mean, she did have, well, I don't want to say that it was unexpected. She did have health issues. She smoked, you know, so it's not. It was still unexpected, you know, even though she was causing things to her body that would put her in bad situations, like smoking. Swear to God, smoking is like one of the worst things you can do.
Let me tell you, my mother smokes, and I mean, and she's not a heavy smoker, but I tell her, even this on Friday, I told her, I was like, I refuse, because one of her tenants came downstairs to give her the rent money, and she was like, she's having a smoke break, blah, blah, blah. We were talking. I was like, I refuse to buy her any cigarettes. She asked me, I'm not going to buy them for you. I'm not even going to go get them for you, because mm-hmm, I'm not paying for you to kill yourself.
Right.
And then, she'll come back with her retort is, well, you used to smoke. Yeah, I used to smoke. I used to, and I smoked for 11 years. And let me tell you, I thank God every day that I stopped smoking,
mm-hmm,
because it's awful, and I feel so much better, even though I put like 20 pounds. That's probably what killed my...
You look better, girl.
Right. Well, that's not true. I like looking like a bobblehead.
I was lying.
Right.
So the reason we were talking before I started talking about my mom is we actually received something from Chad. And it was a cartoon. He wrote it on a... This is just a piece of paper over like a it's kind of like, what size is that, 8x5 or
probably like a, just like a normal like card.
It's not 4x6, whatever.
Yeah, it's like regular,
but it says, and it was right after I announced the engagement to Tony, and then it's a picture of my mama, which this is how I pictured my mama to be, the one that calls in on the phone,
right?
She said, Ginger Bear, it's your mama. Why was I not told about your engagement? You haven't got someone in trouble. Will there be a wedding or just a quickie at the courthouse? Thank you for writing. It's real cute. I'll have to take a picture and put it up on the website.
By the way, he's a pretty good artist.
He is good.
Yeah, I like his artwork.
I
saw the pictures that he drew of us.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why my nose looks the way it does, but okay.
My eyes are bigger than expected, but I still like it.
Yeah, I love the...
Speaking of Chad and drawing, he's actually done a project of people that are involved with Pride 48, and he started painting them. And I believe those paintings are going to go on...
aside from the postcards that he's done? Or the ones that he did?
The ornaments. I know he did ornaments for the auction, but I think awesome. He's also going to auction off the photos he's been doing of us.
Oh, fun.
Speaking of Pride 48, we need to play something real quick. One moment, please. Nothing has changed at Foul Monkeys. We aren't prepared.
Never.
Ever. Here we go.
Well, hello, darlings. This is Donna Sugars. I am so excited that I will get to see so many of you this year, as I am the host of Pride 48 2014 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh. In order to help keep you up to date about the Vegas event, we've created a special section of our website just for you. It has all the information that you will need to help you plan your trip, reminders about upcoming deadlines, and things to see and do once you get there. Oh goodness, the glamour, the glitz, the luxury, the jewels, the gowns, the sequins, the hair. Oh, the bouffes. Oh God, I love ham. Oh goodness. Oh, the liquor. Oh, oh. Simply go to pride48.com and click on Vegas on the main menu. Kisses, darlings, and don't forget to listen to the next State of the Station for the very latest in Pride 48 news. Yes.
Okay, was that like...
Love some Donna Sugars. You're going to love Donna Sugars when you meet her. She's awesome.
Was that like a commercial for like how to like get an awesome orgasm?
Right. I think it was an Herbal Essence commercial. Oh! It was an Herbal Essence commercial. So you guys, Pride 48, that is coming up. September
18th
through the 21st. You know what? We should probably go to the website and just look. Go to pride48.com. We are going to be there. Roger actually announced that he's actually going to be there September 19th through the 21st.
We're way off.
We're going to be there. I believe we're going to do a show. Right?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
we're
gonna do a show.
Yes, honey.
We don't know what it's gonna be about. We need to plan for that probably.
No. Okay. Well,
so we're keeping it real.
We're gonna keep it
real. We're keeping it Foul Monkeys real.
And we'll probably keep it real foul since we're gonna be live.
Right. It's September 19th through the 21st, but some of us are arriving on the 17th, some of us on the 18th. There's a few things going on. If you go to pride48.com and then click Vegas. And then everything you need to know is on the right-hand side of it. And then it tells you more about the co-hostess, TJ, who stole the mayorship of my town, which I'll be burning down. Down, down.
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 Which I'm helping you, by the way.
Pride 48 shuttle information. So make sure that you go and check out all that stuff. The breakfast is amazing. It's awesome. You get to hang out with everybody and eat food, and no one judges you that I know of, except for me. I may have judged someone that went and got too much bacon.
I will more than likely judge
you. Big fatty.
Yeah. I'm excited to see his balls.
I mean, no one ever says that. Ew.
Well, you know.
No. So go to pride48.com. What was I going to say? We're doing a show. The breakfast. It's just a lot of fun. So make sure that you go and do that.
She's getting.
And I can't
antsy.
Wait to see everybody. I'm going to be excited.
I know. I'm really excited to meet everyone because this is only the first time that I'm going to do this. I'm a little nervous.
Explain.
Explain. I'm a little nervous. I probably shouldn't say this out loud because this is probably going to have the opposite reaction of what I'm looking for. But I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I get really, really nervous around a lot of people. Like, even though it seems like I'm outgoing, and I typically am once I get to know you, but I'm really kind of like, I'm not necessarily, I'm not shy, by the traditional meaning of the word. But when I first meet you, I'm a little like...
You're a bitch.
I'm kind of... I'm a little reserved. I come off as standoffish. Sweaty. Yes. Very, like a pool of sweat. Like you want to come swimming in my lake.
Like you should wear your rubberized suit around Roger.
Like I'm going to need a fanboy. Please. Fatty, I'm sending you my rider. That's what I'm requesting. Oh, by the way, we need to make sure that that room is like a fucking Frigidaire.
Oh, it's cold constantly.
Okay, great. Because it needs to be at least 50 degrees.
Not a Frigidaire.
Yeah, a Frigidaire.
Yeah, once Roger starts like sweating, it's like Jerry curl.
Yeah, like, it's like just,
Jerry curl activator.
And then like, and everywhere. Then there's like, and then Dan's gonna be there, and I'm like super nervous because I feel like I'm
gonna just... have to kiss his penis.
Like I'm already starting.
You're gonna
to
give him a mouth hug.
I'm gonna give his penis a mouth hug. I'm gonna be like, your husband needs to just deal with it.
Right.
No, I mean, I get really like nervous and I get really nervous and it comes
you'll
off
be
like,
fine. I'm nervous too. Every time that I go, I'm like super nervous when I get there. I don't know why, because most of the people that go there already know and
yeah,
I've talked
I was
to them.
Say, yeah.
But no, I think it's just natural. You'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm really excited to meet everyone that, especially like people that I've actually interacted with, like Mark and Ed and Dan and all these people, like I actually talked to. So I'm really excited to meet all of them. They've been nothing but sweethearts, even though we had a little bit of a Mariah Carey war, fuckers. And the Hitler thing, let me never mind them. I will set their room on fire.
Set fire.
I'm gonna stand. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stand. Actually, I'm not going to say what I'm going to do. I'll tell you later.
Yeah,
I'll tell you after.
All right, so we have some phone calls to play.
Yes.
They're kind of old. I'm sorry, but
not sorry.
That's how we do. We're going to go with the first one. Oh, first one, I got Tim in Alaska. I got your message on the website that you won something, and I just want to make sure I sent you the prize. I think I did, but if not, please email us at foulmonkeys@gmail.com so I'll know. But I'm pretty sure I did get that to you. Because it's right after Pride 48 Live that we did in June. So I think he was part of the con. Oh, no. He did get it because it was for the reviews. That's what it was. Never mind.
Boop.
All right. First
keeping it
call.
Real.
Hey, monkeys. Right now. Poo slingers. Whatever you are. Anyway, it's Bacon. I'm just calling to say hello. I'm fit bidding right now. You know, I just sent you that laundry list of 43 things I need to do before I can head out of town tomorrow. You know, to go rub elbows with Mittens and his sidekick, Adam, at the Mount Rushmore on Friday. That thyroid just gets me every time. But anyway, what was I going to say? Probably nothing. You're right, Roger. Probably nothing.
That was Miss Bacon, who she's coming. Oh, no. I'm going to have to talk with her because I think she's coming the same weekend that I'm leaving.
Oh, shit.
Maybe it's the weekend before. I'll have to check it out. Oh, Miss Bacon, I hope not. And we got another phone call.
Uh-oh. Hey guys, this is Joe Batanz. I was listening to the show while driving right now, and I wanted to correct something that Ricky said. Ricky said that Mexican food remained the traditional way was not healthy. I actually have to correct him, as being as a self-appointed expert on Mexican food, that actually if you make traditional Mexican food from Mexico, then it is actually pretty healthy, a lot more healthy than your, it's mostly vegetables and grains with just sort of a sampling of meat, if you will, the way most people around the world eat. It's not until you mix it with your Western European diet that it gets really gross, lots of cheese, more meat dominant. Now look, we can get more specific than that, but I just wanted to make the correction that actual traditional Mexican food is pretty healthy. Now, you might say, well, didn't they name Mexico the fattest country in the world? And the answer is yes, but it's not until all our American food companies went in there and made them fat, because it's we're trying to kill Latinos is what we're trying to do. All right, guys, I thought I'd correct that. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Actually, you know what? He does have a point. Because a lot of Mexican, like traditional Mexican plates do have a lot more vegetables. They're a lot more veggie heavy than they are meat heavy. So he technically does have a point. But it's all like right. I told you. It's like I told you. If you add a little oil, once they got oil, it was over.
Right. And I'm sorry, they eat a lot of cheese too. They have all different kinds of cheese.
But you know what though? I don't think that was that was introduced by Westerners. It wasn't like...
So when you're saying traditional, you mean like Aztec traditional?
No. Like tradition, like a traditional plate would probably be like like caldo de res, which is probably a traditional Mexican, which is just broth with vegetables and a little bit of pork meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty healthy. That doesn't have any oil in it. Cause, I mean, it has a natural oil from the like the pork, but it doesn't have like, you don't add anything in there.
What about the beans?
Traditional beans, if you cook them, if you just cook them like normal, like in from la olla, which is all you do is you soak them in the water and you add garlic and a little bit of salt, that's pretty healthy. That's all you're doing is just, essentially you're just cooking them. So that's healthy, but
I'm still saying that living
has a little bit of
and
a
being having a Mexican fiance mm-hmm. has made me fat as fuck.
Well, let's be clear: eating the Mexican food from down the street isn't helping.
Nueva León,
or
eat a whole container of cheese.
Eating that isn't either.
I want cheese, and I want chorizo, and I want tortillas.
Right.
I don't understand what's not healthy about that.
Right. So he has a little bit of a point, but anyway.
What else we got going on?
I don't know. What else you want
to
talk about?
I'm going to see Tori Amos on Tuesday.
Really excited. That's right. That was the one that... Didn't you need someone to go with you on that one?
Yeah, my friend Mark's going with me.
Okay.
Yeah,
I never really got into her. I know there's a few people who like her a lot. I never really got into her.
Oh my God, Little Earthquakes is the best album ever of hers.
Was that kind of like her Jagged Little Pill album?
No, she had albums before that.
No, meaning that was like her big one? Like, that was the equivalency of that album? Like, her Velvet Rope, it was kind of like... Or are you just saying that was one of her...
Best albums. I don't know if... That's the album I like the best. That's the one I got to discover her. I guess that's what I should say. That's when I discovered her. So that's why I like that album the most.
Interesting. I think I listened to a couple of her songs, and I just...
She's different. She's strange.
I think that's probably why I didn't understand her. I never identified with her in terms of like what her. I don't want. Not this is not to. Her shtick. Like I don't want to.
She's different. You know,
it's kind of like Bjork. Like I never understood.
I don't understand her.
I don't. But there's a lot of people who actually like get her and they understand her music and they get. And I think she's. Even though I don't understand where she's coming from musically or what her jig is, I think that that is the one thing I like about her because she's so different and musically.
It's like Yoko
she's,
Ono. What?
That bitch is crazy. Let's be clear. There's nothing. She's not even strange. She's just fucking cuckoo. That bitch flew out that nest from the get go and was cuckoo. No, I think there's something like musically genius about Bjork. And I think that's just kind of the same thing about like the stuff that I have read on Tori Amos and like some of the story that I have heard of her. Mm-hmm. Like she's musically, I feel like she is kind of a little bit of a genius. Like she's musically, she's very good at a lot of instruments and things like that. And she's some of the stuff that I have read about her in terms of her writing and stuff. I feel like she is really good at what she does. Mm-hmm. I just never got into her because I don't, it just wasn't something that I could relate to. Now I know that she was, if I'm not mistaken, a rape victim. And was mm-hmm. it really brutal, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for some reason, I didn't hear that until I was a lot later in life. So, I think maybe that's probably why I didn't really right. understand where she was coming from. But I know a lot of people do, and I feel like I should kind of relate to her, because I like that whole, like, dark and
oh,
kind
my
of, like,
God, you...
Sad.
Totally should. Oh, I went to Pitchfork.
Yeah, how was that?
Interesting.
I don't know what that's for. I don't know what that's...
It's a bunch of, like, indie bands that I didn't know too much about. But I sat there through it anyway because the people are so interesting there. I met RC and Jay there. They were there.
Yeah, I know. I saw the pictures that I was not invited to. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. You had to pay for that event.
Yeah, thanks.
So,
not invited.
A lot of hot men.
Not invited.
A lot.
Yep, still not invited.
Of hot men.
Yeah, still not
I
invited.
I mean, just like hot men everywhere.
We're still not invited.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess you could have came if you want to pay $130 for the tickets.
Oh, is that what you paid? Yeah, no.
Yeah, for 3 days. For 3 days. But my friend Melissa was in town. She's my best friend from Virginia. Like, she is my actually friend that I have ever known the longest that we're still friends.
Mm-hmm. How long have you known her?
Well, I've known her since I was a child. But we didn't actually, like, become friends until we were, like, 18.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we've been friends for a long time. So she came up here to visit. It was fun. It was nice. It was actually the weekend after my mom's death. Well, actually, a week or so after my mom's death. So mm-hmm. she came up here. You know, it took my mind off things. And then, you know, after she left is when I had a lot of time to deal with things. But it was nice to see
did
her.
It happen to happen after like it was all coincidental.
Got I it. Mean basically if things would have been planned, which you know no one plans their death
obviously,
but she could have just drove back up here with me right. from Virginia.
Saved a lot
because
of
she came I came home on Wednesday and she arrived on Thursday, so actually I arrived Thursday morning. And then she arrived Thursday afternoon.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
But I had a lot of fun. And I took her to all of my favorite restaurants.
At least you were able to like get your mind off for a little bit mm-hmm. and kind of have that break.
Right.
To kind of emotionally recharge.
One funny, hilarious story that happened.
While you were there?
While I was in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I think you told me about that.
Yeah. All right. So my mom passed away on a Friday.
I'm going to get some water while you're telling that story.
We did everything, you know, that we had to do to get paperwork and all that stuff. Calm down. So, I get home to my sister's house. You know, of course, we're still kind of upset and we're still thinking about things. So, I'm like, oh my God, I need to calm myself down a little bit. So, I decide that I'm going to take some Xanax, but only like, I only have a prescription for like 0.25. So I was going to take four of those to equal 1 milligram, which is nothing compared to what other people take, right? So as I'm talking to my sister and her boyfriend, we're talking and I pour the pills out and I take them and I swallow, you know, with water. And then like 40 seconds later, I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? I go back to the bottle, and I had fucking taken four Ambien. I was like, oh my God. So I started to like, four Ambien. I started to try to like make myself throw up. I hadn't eaten anything all day, so I didn't have anything to throw up. So me and my sister went to the emergency room.
It like, sounds like you were on a model's diet. I'm not even going to lie. Well, no food and sleeping pills. I mean, a girl's dream.
aren't you supposed to have uppers, though, too?
No, girl, because that's the whole point. Don't all models look sleepy when they're being taken pictures of? They're mm-hmm. like...
So I've taken these four pills. My sister calls the pharmacist and asks if I need to go to the emergency room. And they're like, yes, you need to go to the emergency room. And I was like, oh, God. So I swear, Roger, the hospital ride is only like 15 minutes from my sister's house, right? By the time I get to the hospital, I'm all kinds of fucked up. Like, I'm seeing shit. I can't function. They're like, where are you from? Like, I don't know.
If I could have been a fly in that car.
Did I show you the picture of me?
No.
In the hospital? Oh my God.
No, you just told me the story.
Let me show you the picture of me in the hospital. You guys, and apparently, taking four of them is not a big deal because teenagers, as drugs, take like 10 of them. And I'm like, oh my God, how do they do that? Like, I was so fucked up, I couldn't sleep. Like, I couldn't. The medicine's made for you to fall asleep. But I took so many that I could not fall asleep. And I kept seeing shit.
So it kind of acted as. I think you need to post this on our Facebook page.
Like, so CPs. But not sleepy enough.
I was going to say, but not sleepy enough.
But
it's kind of like counterintuitive in your body. It's like, you're going to take pills to make you sleepy, but instead we're just going to keep you up.
Well, I go to the emergency room, and that's basically what they do, is they try to keep me awake, but also they just monitor me. They didn't have a room for me, so I got so
kept
like...
kept your ass in the hallway.
I got so lethargic, like I couldn't... Is that the right word?
Yeah.
That, you know, I just didn't want to stand up.
Yeah.
So they stuck me on a hospital bed outside in the hallway. I'm talking to my sister. My sister says I'm like saying all this crazy shit. She said, I said at one point, oh my God, let's get some king crab legs, stuff them with like chorizo and cheese.
You know, and you're dating a Mexican. And, when?
And then we're going to go to Olive Garden and put olives on the claw tips. She said, she looked at me and she was like, Ricky, I got to go. So she went out to the car and fell asleep.
That's so 1980s, like, fucking Breakfast Club bullshit right there.
So here I am, and I was like, oh my God, did you see that? And she's like, what? And I was like, that little boy, he touched my arm. She said, okay, that's a nurse.
Was it a lesbian?
I don't know. I kept going in and out. So the thing about this medication, just naturally, if you take one pill... Sometimes you forget what you've done like the hour or so before you sleep.
Right, because it makes you... So is it Ambien, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've taken one.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you drowsy, like right. Really drowsy. So it's kind of like you're in and out, like in and out of sleep. To the point where you're like, and then you're out.
And okay, then, so I was like, oh my God, do you smell that? And she's like, what? And I'm like, I smell something really good. And she's like, well... It smells like a hospital in here, and that boy over there keeps continuously throwing up, which is true. I mean, he vomited the whole time that I was there. I don't know what was going on with him.
That's kind of gross.
And then I was like, I'm so hungry. And the nurse came over and goes, well, we can order you something, but you only have like a minute to order it. And I'm like, what do you have? And she's like, chicken nuggets and french fries. I was like, I'll take it. Let me tell you, the best... chicken strips or chicken nuggets. I can't remember what I had. And french fries ever. So they do like, they bring the EKG machine. They know right. They do the EKG there.
To make sure your heart's
and okay. Then I realized, I was like, oh my God. She's like lifting up my shirt in front of all these people. I was like, oh my God.
White boot and white moves for everyone.
So literally that's all they did. So I sat in the bed.
Eating your chicken nuggets and
fries.
Four hours.
Which and probably, I kept getting up because I had my backpack with me, and I kept, I remember this, but my sister tells me too.
This is probably like the best scene of a raver movie.
Right. I get up, and I put my backpack on, and I was like, okay, I'm leaving, bye. And the letter's like, no, honey, no, you can't leave yet. And I'm like, Oh. So I'd take off my backpack and then just lay back on the bed. And then I don't know how much longer it was, but I repeated the same thing a couple times. I remember it. And I probably did it a couple times I don't remember. Oh, and they eventually let me out. Let me tell you, I got my bill on Thursday. $2,200.
For just
so that's before insurance. Oh, Lord. I was like, you bitches didn't even do anything. You got entertainment and didn't even do anything. There was no blood work. There was no, oh, let me give you this pill. You know, let me give you this medicine so that you don't overdose. You know, there was nothing like, you know, nothing.
Right. They wheeled your ass on a bed.
Right. And they didn't even do that because I got up on it. They didn't even have to move the bed. So, yeah, that was it. That was like my sister. Well, and then after, we got out of the hospital like 8:30 and we were like, well, my sister was starving. I apparently was starving. So it was a Friday and we decided, I was still fucked up though. I don't really remember the conversation too much, but I do kind of. But we're like, oh, you know what we should do? Because my mom was raised Catholic, so she would eat like fish on Fridays kind of thing. And we're like, oh, we should eat fish tonight. And really the only thing of where I live is like Long John Silver's.
That's so gross.
So we get to the Long John Silver's and we walk in and the girl that's the manager there is actually knows my sister. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear about, you know, your loss. Oh my God, or whatever.
How does she
know? It was that quick. Like seriously, everybody knows everybody there. And she was like, whatever you order, it's on the house. And I was like, what?
And there goes the modeling career.
50 hush puppies.
And there goes the modeling career. Right.
And then I went home. And then, oh, this is another thing about being in the hospital. Because it's the same day my mom passed away, they thought I was trying to kill myself. So they would come over and be like, we know you're really sad over your mom's death. But it's okay if you tell us that maybe you were so sad you didn't want to live. And I'm like, no, that's not what happened. I accidentally took this medication and I came to the hospital because they told me that I needed to. And they're like, oh, that's, are you sure?
Because, you know, they were like, almost like, oh, that's, yeah, really sad.
Like they're trying to convince me, you know, like I'm like, I'm telling you right now, been there, done that. If I wanted to kill myself, I would not just take 4 Ambien and then drive myself to the hospital. And they're like, so they kept asking me the same question, just different ways, like every time they came to me. I'm like, no. All right, so that was that. I know we still need to review the book that we read.
Jeremy's book.
Yes.
And then we also got another book. It's called
Sugar Baby Bridge.
Sugar Baby Bridge by Brett Edward Stout. We will be reading this soon and reviewing it. Thank you so much for sending us 3 copies. So it'll be one for Ricky and I, and then we will give away one. It's not.
We're
signed.
Also giving away another one from Jeremy. Also,
yes, and that one is signed by Jeremy. But the one, the Sugar Baby Bridge, is not signed by Brett. However, Ricky and I will sign it over to whoever.
I don't do wins signatures.
It. Oh,
yeah,
not that kind of signature. Yeah. At least
I don't. You really like to give away your signatures.
On people's mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
So I just wanted to give an update on me since it was all about you.
Oh. Well, this is you not have all 7 you. Minutes.
Where
we're
are we
keeping
at?
It at an hour and we're not recording an additional show. I don't feel like it.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah. I'm hungry too. So I just wanted to I finally moved into my mom's house, I think, mm-hmm. after about a month. It was. Yeah. Let's just say it's been a very interesting month. It's been a month of nothing but babysitting and really feeling like just not having, like living somewhere but not really feeling at home. That's not even the right term. Not having a home, living somewhere but not having a home. And even that, I was just telling Ricky before we started recording, excuse me, I still kind of feel that way right now. Like, it's really strange to be back at home Because even being at home, I still don't feel like it's my house. You know, because it's just, I haven't lived there for so long. But you know, this this is a great opportunity for me. I've really, really been considering these last couple years whether I want to, what I want to do next with my life, and what I want to, if I want to continue to live here in the city, and if I want to move. And it's been really kind of been playing a lot in my mind. And right now, that's a very, very, very big possibility in the future.
So what you're saying is that I'm going to have to find another co-host.
No, that's not what I'm saying. However, that is something that I am toying around with right now at the moment. I don't know.
Do Skype.
Shut up.
I don't do Google Hangouts.
Shut up. And I think at this moment in my life, because I don't have a permanent address, I feel like it's the appropriate time to really consider what I want to do. I feel like it's something that I feel like everyone else is moving forward in their life, and I feel very stuck where I'm at right now, and I feel like something needs to change. And so I feel like right now, at this moment in this venture in my life, I want to do that. I want to consider what my options are. And who knows? I mean, I have a year, because that's kind of what I gave myself to really consider what I want to do. Whether that's leave Chicago and go to California, which is where I want to go, that's to be foreseen. Because, I mean, obviously, the biggest hang up would be a job, because I'm not moving anywhere if I don't have a job.
Ain't nobody got time for no job.
Exactly. And not only that, but like also I want to save money, and I want to be able to like have, you know, a good little nest egg and not have to worry about, you know, oh, I can't take a trip because I don't have enough money, or I have to save for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another thing that I need to, that I'm doing at the moment, you know, is trying to save money. I've also, obviously, as you guys know, I'm going to Vegas with Ricky, and we're going to go represent Foul Monkeys in Vegas, which I'm really excited about. It was not an easy decision in terms of financially, because I'm still kind of trying to like get my feet on the floor since I just, you know, moved back to my mom's house. So, but I'm really excited about that. And I'm also going to Florida for a week by myself, which is going to be,
who are you going to see?
Nobody. I'm literally going by myself. I'm going to be staying at a hotel, and I'm just going to like literally turn off.
It's a gay hotel.
Yeah. I'm going to be staying at the, I'm not going to mention the name, but it's.
Is that Wilton Manors?
No, but it's in Fort Lauderdale. Oh.
Is it a nudist resort?
Huh? I'm not going to say.
It totally isn't.
You're not going to get out of me. At least not on the air.
That's what she said.
It's, you know, I've stayed there before. I had a lot of fun. It's very private. But you know, I think, you know, this year, at the very beginning of this year, I found myself feeling like everyone was moving forward, and I was feeling a lot, like I was feeling very stuck. Like people are getting married, people are having babies, and I'm kind of one of the only people in my group of friends that doesn't have any of that stuff. I feel like I'm the only person in my group of friends that's single, and I just feel just stuck. And this year has been kind of weird with all that going on, and just, it's been just a really tough year in terms of like work, and work has been really busy and just all that crap. And then with the babies coming and that being kind of hard, and me having to be, you know, move out and all that, I think it's just culminated to this point where I'm just like, oh my God, I'm literally going to poke my eyes out if I don't have like a vacation or do something that's just me, no one else.
So you're going by yourself so you can poke other people's eyes out.
Right. Right. With my one-eyed Willy. Yeah. No, but I think I need some sun. I need some fun, and I need to get away. And so I'm doing that. And yeah, that should be fun. So I don't know, but we'll see what this year brings, I guess, you know.
Okay.
What the next couple months bring.
Well, it's going to snow next month, so be ready.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to think about that, but...
I will tell you, that's one of the biggest reasons why I honestly, seriously have considered moving. This last winter was by far the roughest winter I've ever had to experience in my life, and I've lived here all my life. And honestly, I fucking hate...
Was it really that bad?
Fuck you. That's what I have for you.
It really wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. How many months did we have it? October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May?
June.
9 months of fucking winter.
You guys, seriously, we haven't had like 3 or 4 days over the... over 80 degrees.
I think these last 2 days have been probably the last 2 days that have been at least over 80.
Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy. I was telling Jules and Smurfetters, I was like, I just want like a week of like 90 degree weather.
No.
Where it's so fucking hot that I can at least complain and be like, oh my God, it's so fucking hot. At least that'll give me some resemblance of summer.
How high the lake will rise? With all the sweat that comes out of you on that week.
Las Vegas, we'll find out when I go down there.
It's a different kind of heat. It's dry.
The fuck it is. I've been to Vegas.
Actually, your sweat just kind of evaporates off of you there, which is cool.
It is.
All right. So you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
All right. This is Ricky.
This is Roger.
And we will try to be back next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Foul Monkeys. We love hearing from our fans. Give us a call at 863-666-0377 or email us at foulmonkeys@gmail.com.
Make sure you visit our website at foulmonkeys.com. Follow us on Twitter by searching for Foul Monkeys and like us on our Facebook fan page.
You can also subscribe to us in iTunes and leave a review. Again, thanks for listening.